Sign up for Cover 5, a free-to-play sports game that will change the way you view the tournament. Join Cover 5 Madness for free at Cover5.com and the Cover 5 app. The high score each day will win $1,000 through Sunday, March 20th games. Use promo code Chicago.
This is Fast Break with Jay Hood and Chris Black. Follow Jay Hood on Instagram at IG Jay Hood or at ESPN underscore Chicago.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
I'm Chris Black along with Jonathan Hood. It's Fast Break talking NBA and the Bulls right here on ESPN 1000. Saturdays here in the spring.
Yes.
From 1 to 3 until the Bulls season ends.
Now listen, now we know that March Madness is taking place here, but you know, if you're an NBA guy, you're an NBA guy. Chris and I were just talking about this. Like, we see the tournament. We know what's happening with March Madness. We know about Cover5.com. We know all about that. But the point is, though, if you're a league guy, you're a league guy. And we're league guys. We love all of basketball, but we just know that what's happening with the Bulls is very compelling. What's happening in the East, the MVP race, all this stuff. And that's why we provide this for you every Saturday, just to give you a platform to talk about the Bulls in the NBA.
To update the tournament, North Carolina just beat Baylor 93-86. That game went to overtime. North Carolina in overtime outscored Baylor, the Bears, 13-6. They get the victory. They move on to the Sweet 16. For the North Carolina Tar Heels, up next in the tournament, Creighton against Kansas. So we'll keep our eyes on that as well as things get going here. Rock Chalk, right?
Rock Chalk Championship.
Okay, yeah.
So we'll see how that goes. But it's fun. And by the way, great research for you and I as well, because when the NBA draft comes right around the corner,
we're ready to go.
You know, we'll see Chet Holmgren. I didn't know we were still making Chets, but nonetheless.
I guarantee you this.
Yeah.
When we get to that point, I will give you a scouting report on Chet Holmgren suggesting that he looks like a praying mantis.
I think that's true.
That's what I will use that on draft night as he leads Gonzaga. So the Bulls last night, they lose 129-102 to the Suns. The first quarter, I thought things were going decently for the Bulls. They lost that quarter 30-27, but really the Suns started to open it up between the second and the third quarters. The middle portion of the game opened that sucker up, where the Bulls were not competitive in the second half. The game got to 30 points as a lead for the Suns. And, you know, the final minutes of the game were actually not important whatsoever, as the Bulls got blown out again against a top team, the best team in the NBA, the Phoenix Suns. They win the basketball game 129-102. And Phoenix, you know, we can have a conversation about the Suns also, that they're by far the best team in the league, but people don't really want to discuss them. They're not really a first take topic. How good are the Suns? How great are they at defense? Oh, the Suns are continuing to win without Chris Paul. That's something there. I thought that Paul was the reason that they were so successful last year and this year.
Yeah, Monty Williams has that thing cooking.
There's a lot.
When you're good, you don't get on first take. This is why the Bucks and the Suns don't get on first take, which is just ridiculous to me, because you should be able to see how far these teams can go. The Suns are so well coached, and you can see it's a system, right? And nothing against Chris Paul, because Chris Paul is the straw that stirs the drink for the Suns, but you could see, even when Adam, Campaign looked good yesterday. Campaign had 7 assists yesterday. It was running that offense as well as Chris Paul could in a regular season game.
They're also led by 3 players who were all drafted, who have all matured and come into their own together. And it's Devin Booker, DeAndre Ayton, and Mikal Bridges. All 3 of them play good defense. And then also, Devin Booker is turning into a budding superstar. We could debate his level of stardom within the league, but Booker's the real deal. He had 28 points last night on 10 of 18 shooting. And what we see from the Suns, Jonathan, you nailed it. They play as a team on defense. They pass the basketball on offense. And they know where to find the open man and take advantage of what they see against other defenses. And the Bulls, if we flip it to the Bulls' side, things were tough after the first quarter, scoring baskets for the Bulls, and their leading scorer, DeMar DeRozan, he only had 19 last night. And we've seen at different points this season where when DeMar has struggled, you need someone else to definitely chip in. But then when the rest of the offense has struggled, DeMar has taken the load where he has carried that scoring load and been the lead guy for this team. And when he can only give you 19 and Zach LaVine gives you 12 and Vucevic only gives you 16, it's really a no-win opportunity for the Chicago Bulls. And the game was basically over by halftime.
This, what we're seeing here with the Bulls, it's the hallmark of Billy Donovan coach teams. Remember Billy Donovan with Oklahoma City, where you're in the Western Conference, you got to catch up offensively. You got to score the ball as often as possible. That means you take a barrage of threes. You want to be able to get enough rebounds, especially on the offensive glass. You got to be able to move the ball around. All these things, right? The Bulls are in a position right now where they have scoring, but now you don't have enough scoring against the upper echelon teams. You gave that stat earlier about the Bulls and how they're performing against the top three teams in the East and the West. Three wins in that scenario, correct?
No, none.
No wins. 0-15.
0-15. They're 0-15 against teams who are the top three in each conference. In fact, the only team that they've actually played well against, who's a playoff caliber team, is Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
Cleveland's the only team they've really played well against. But yeah, 0-15 against top three seeds in both the East and the Western Conference. That should tell you a lot as a Bulls fan.
There's a ceiling to the success for this Bulls team.
Yeah.
I just know that the way they have to win is to try to outscore teams, and the Bulls just don't have enough firepower. I believe that the Bulls fan, the average Bulls fan, is starting to see that this team is good, but there's another level. And here's the troubling thing. I'm not trying to fast forward through the season, Chris, when I say this, but I will once again underline the fact that DeRozan's 32 years of age, and you got to figure out, like, what do you want to do here in the next couple of years? What do you want to do the next couple of years as far as the roster composition? Now, I trust Karnaschovas and Eversley to try to figure out what to do and how to get this roster better, but it's more than just Lonzo Ball. It's more than just adding Lonzo Ball. Now, Lonzo would help a lot, helping with the three-point shooting and definitely perimeter defense, but do you, even if you're fully healthy, and I think the Bulls, I would say, you tell me, 15, 18 games where they've been fully healthy?
Yeah.
Patrick Williams aside, yeah. I'm talking about the core.
Yeah, the first couple of months they were all there, right? Until they got hit with COVID mid-December-ish.
Yeah.
That's when things kind of started to change because guys were missing in the lineup because of COVID protocols. And then the moment they got back and they were, like, together, that's when the actual injuries started to hit with Lonzo and Caruso and others.
It's hypothetical, but yeah. I will ask, if everyone's healthy with Lonzo Ball and with Patrick Williams, can the Bulls match up against the Bucks, the 76ers as we know them now, the Miami Heat, the Nets? Can they be able to match up against them if they're fully healthy? I would say the Bulls, at worst, would be still in the fourth slot.
Yeah, I'll take that.
Based on the roster composition.
Boston is sitting at 43-28. They're a game and a half up on the Bulls at 41-29. Yeah, they could be there. I don't think fully healthy, they're where Miami, Milwaukee, and Philly is sitting in the standings. I think those three teams have shown us that they're much better than what we've seen to this point than what the Bulls have to offer.
Didn't mention the Nets in that scenario. Did not mention the Nets. You don't see them in there.
Well, you know, based on the standings, they're eighth in the conference at 37-34. In a playoff series, they will be favored. Even if the Bulls are the higher seed, the Nets will be favored. Like, if we look at the Vegas numbers when we get to that series, each game, the Nets will be the favorite. There's no doubt.
Just because of Durant.
Durant and Kyrie, and Kyrie's missed a good portion of this season, so that's part of why they're the eighth seed.
Kyrie's showing you that if the NBA was only just once a week, amazing what would happen, right? Because Kyrie scores over 60, and that's been a thing in the NBA now. You're scoring over 50 points, some in the 60-point threshold. If Kyrie played once a week, that's what it would look like.
Yeah.
We forgot how good he is.
I love how you point out that that's so smart to point out that, like, yeah, he's not playing all the games, so of course he can go off and give you 50-point efforts, 60-point efforts.
Yeah.
It's totally different when you have to grind through the entire season.
Right.
You know, and point in case, look at DeMar DeRozan. In the last month, DeMar DeRozan's numbers have dipped. He's also been available. He's been here. He's played in all these games.
Right.
It's tough to score 34 a night in a month. He did that in February. If you look at the month of March, he's at 25. He's definitely dropped. He dropped 10 points per game. But, like, you're right. If you can only show up once a week, drop 50 and then bounce, it's pretty easy for Kyrie.
Especially when you're special like him, though.
Sure.
So, see, it's not just anybody, Sadiq Bey. It's just not anybody, right? It's
on the board of 50-point games for the season.
Right.
How far down the list would you have to get to Sadiq Bey getting 50?
Dude, the sun would go down and go up again before I even say Sadiq Bey with that kind of game. Seriously.
I saw that the other night. And it, what's great about it is if people aren't unaware, it took place on Thursday. It was the only NBA game taking place.
Yeah.
Because the league tries to not place a lot of games on the opening day of the NCAA tournament. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, Sadiq Bey had 50 on the night everyone's watching college basketball?
Poor Sadiq Bey. No one noticed, right? I just think that that's just hilarious. But I think because of who Kyrie is, and when you see him just part-time, it stands out even more, though, Chris. When you see him for the part-time, and you're like, man, you forget how dynamic. We've heard quotes this week of Kyrie is the most skilled point guard to ever play. And it's like, I don't know about that, but definitely someone who's very special has got to be in your top three, top five. Another thing about the Nets, too, and I don't know if the Bulls will face the Nets. If the Bulls do face the Nets, and I don't know if that's possible, I'm thinking that we won't see Ben Simmons at all this year.
I think that's true. I think there's something more to the back injury, and we won't see him.
You mean like an epidural?
Yeah, I mean...
Well, I mean, what else? I mean, what do you mean, like mental hurdles or...
No. I think like physically he's not right.
He's been sitting on his ass.
Yeah, no, I know. Wouldn't you...
Right.
At this point, like he's away from the 76ers.
Yeah.
If he was healthy, he'd play. There's no reason for him not to play. He's clearly not healthy, right? So I would imagine we won't see him. You know, like, what's the ticking clock on when you need him to be available to like, fix into the different rotations for the Nets before you say, all right, we don't have enough regular season left. Like, let's just wait until next year. Like, you can't roll him out in a first-round playoff series. He choked last time in the playoffs. Don't you have to kind of get some confidence?
Yeah. You got about 10 to 12 games to try to figure this out.
So it's got
to
happen soon, like within the next week.
So if he's not healthy, though, that's one. Like, if he's not healthy, Sean Marks should be fired. What do you make that deal for? I understand that Harden didn't want to be there, and you got the asset. But the asset, were you sure he was mentally or physically ready to do this? Why make that deal? You did this to get a playoff push, didn't you?
You think. I mean, the other pieces are there, and they're helpful. Andre Drummond, Seth Curry. That helps, right? We're talking Bulls and NBA here on ESPN 1000, the ESPN Chicago app.
We'll be turning the page, right?
We'll just
turn the page.
Yeah, it's something, right? Like, wouldn't you think he'd be playing by now? We talked to Amin El Hassan, an old friend of the show. He joins us to talk NBA basketball coming up next.
Welcome back to Jay Hood and Chris Black, the hosts of ESPN Chicago's Fast Break. Watch the show on Twitch.tv or the Twitch app. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago. Now, Fast Break flies on. On Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
It's Chris Black, Jonathan Hood. It's Fast Break, NBA and Bulls basketball conversation, Saturdays from 1 to 3 right here on ESPN 1000. As Jonathan, we take a look around the National Basketball Association. The Bulls lose last night to the Suns in a blowout. The Bulls, once again, not playing well against top teams.
No, and we need to have someone to help us with that. So we turn to Amin El Hassan, who learned from the Bryant Gumbel School of Broadcasting. So Amin El Hassan from Metalark Media and also SiriusXM NBA Radio. And Amin joins us here on ESPN 1000. Bryant El Hassan, thanks so much for your time. Hello, Amin.
I just wanted to let everybody know that my phone, Jay Hood profile pic, is Bryant Gumbel from Family Guy. Anytime he hits me up, that's the picture that pops up on my phone.
the Gumbel to Gumbel was so underrated. It should have been a spinoff. Like, yeah. Nothing against the Cleveland show, but I mean, if you wanted to have something as a spinoff, you go Gumbel to Gumbel, right? I'd do that.
Hey, man, like, Peter tried. He went to the TV station, tried to get it, like, uncanceled. Had to pretend that Chris had some terminal disease that had pepperoni falling off him. Hey, man, the efforts have been made, but Gumball the Gumball sadly will not be coming back to our team.
I love that.
I mean, when you look at what this Bulls team has done, you know, last night was not good. This week has not been good. They've lost three in a row. They've gone. They've lost eight of their last 10 games. And against the top three seeds in each conference, the East and the West, the Bulls are 0-15. How do you make what do you make of this season so far for the Chicago Bulls?
Well, I think at this point, especially considering all the injuries they've had, it's hard not to be optimistic about what this team has done. You know, that they've been as good as they've been is something of a pleasant surprise. Obviously, DeMar DeRozan's played great, but I think the team's a lot better, certainly than they were even a year ago. Now, in terms of the short term, the right now, I'm not thinking about, hey, what were we thinking in October, but right now, I would also be optimistic because help is around the corner. Caruso is back. Lonzo Ball originally was 6 to 8 weeks, so he should be back any day now based on the time frame from January when the injury happened. And we got the latest news that Patrick Williams has been cleared to do some on-court activity with the G League affiliate, and he should be back within a week or so. And that's huge because, remember, that was supposed to be their starting four. Like, we kind of just forgot about that because he's been hurt all year long. But Patrick Williams, there was high hopes for him going into this season to kind of blossom as a kind of do-it-all defensive player. And so when you talk about Lonzo Ball and Patrick Williams coming back, Russo's back, those are your three best defensive players pretty much. And that's going to help tremendously so that LaVine and DeRozan and Vucevic can, you know, focus on the scoring aspect.
I mean, we've been talking about DeMar DeRozan, and for those that don't remember him with the Raptors and the Spurs, we saw a guy that was part of a puzzle, part of some of those really good teams. He could score, but he became a go-to guy, I think, for the first time in his career on a regular basis. And the question to Billy Donovan in the postgame yesterday was, do you believe that, you know, DeRozan's slowing down or getting tired? And my thought was, no. It takes the others to be able to step up because DeRozan's never been a go-to guy. How do you assess what he's been going through so far this season?
Yeah, I mean, I would say he's never been a go-to guy. In Toronto, you know, we kind of think about that last year or so in Toronto where they started to change the offense and make it more like what it looks like now, where it's a lot of ball movement and body movement. But before that, they were a super ISO team. They were Houston before Houston was. And DeRozan was that guy who was one of the league leaders in isolation plays in the NBA. And so, yes, since then, going, you know, from Toronto going to San Antonio, he's kind of expanded his game in that regard. He's a lot better playmaker, you know, in terms of an assist man. But, like, don't get it twisted. He is, at his core, still a bucket getter. Now, is he getting tired? It's a fair question, especially since he's the one who hasn't really had a long-term injury, whereas everyone else has kind of had to sit out a considerable amount of time. So he's had to shoulder the burden of keeping this thing afloat. I don't think he's, you know, like spent, like he's got nothing left. But I also think, like you said, when these guys all get back, when they get back to being healthy, the burden's going to be a lot lighter on him and things are going to be a lot easier. And I guess going back to all their best defensive players have been out. So, you know, that also takes a toll, whether it's like, I've got to do more defensively, or take it over the standpoint of, because we're not as good defensively, I've got to carry the load offensively to make up for that deficit. All of these things are going to get better, I think, as the Bulls return to health.
When you look at Zach LaVine, he's been battling a knee injury that the team continues to say that there's no structural damage. He also has free agency coming up in the summer. And then you look at him trying to play through this injury and contribute to this team. What do you make of the season that Zach's put together this year?
Yeah, no, I mean, like, this is kind of what we all thought he could be. And this is what we expected or hoped, I should say, that being on the Olympic team would do for him as far as his confidence and as far as kind of his maturity and the things he focuses on. It stinks that he's got a knee injury and he's got to play through that. This league doesn't have a great track record of guys being rewarded for playing hurt. But I think he realizes, and the Bulls realize, this, for as dominant as, you know, Brooklyn looks like when Kyrie and KD are on the floor, for as stellar as the Bucks have been of late, The Celtics have been great since January 1st. The Heat have been tremendous all year long. This is still a wide-open race in the Eastern Conference. I think the Bulls, if they're healthy, can definitely say, hey, we've got our names among those teams as far as being hopeful to come out of this. I can't say the same for next year. I don't know that they'll be this good next year or they'll have this good a chance. So I understand why the pressures of LaVine having to play through this. But again, in terms of the season he's having, I think this is what everyone wanted from him, which is to become a more complete player.
Amin El-Hassan joins us here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. Amin, if I gave you the Bucks or the field, who would you take in the East?
I'm taking the field. Hey, have you seen the field? I just named them for you. Like, the field got some people. Hey, look, I know Ben Simmons got an epidural, and that doesn't sound like a good thing because I had back issues with a nerve thing going on earlier this year, and I had to get an epidural.
Mm.
Let me tell you, it's not fun, but it works. So,
yeah.
If you're trying to get right, like, that thing will help you now. And so I imagine that his recovery is going to be a lot quicker than I think people realize. And when you put him on the floor, you know, the crazy thing about that Harden trade, what it did for Brooklyn, you know, everyone thought about how they could get Ben Simmons, and Ben Simmons is going to help them defensively, and he's a great playmaker, and it just adds another dimension. But what's really helped them in the meantime is all the depth they've gotten because of that, right? With Seth Curry, with Andre Drummond, and then obviously going out and signing Goran Dragic as a free agent. Those things have made Brooklyn a much deeper team. So when Simmons comes back, well, I don't care what seed they are. That is a terrifying, terrifying matchup for anybody. And then, you know, again, we got to say Boston has been the best team in the Eastern Conference since January 1st. They've been dominant defensively. It looks like Tatum and Brown have finally figured out how to play nice with everyone else. And every Ime Udoka has that thing running great. And then finally, like I said, Miami has been quietly the number one team for over a month, 2 months now. And they've done it when their guys are healthy, and they've done it when their guys are hurt. And, you know, Eric Spoelstra, named to one of the 15 best coaches of all time, I think he's proven it again this year. Like, he's a hell of a coach. You get him players out there, he'll give you some feist, the fight in there. So, if you say Bucks to the field, man, I gotta pick the field.
I mean, you mentioned Boston. They have been really good, especially the last month or so. Defensively, what's something that you see defensively that the Celtics do that really sets them apart?
Well, I mean, like, they've always, see, the crazy thing is, it's always been there. Like, the idea that they have all these athletes who are 6'6", 6'8", and switch stuff and can guard above or below their position. They always had it. Just at the beginning of the year, I don't know what the deal was as far as why everyone wasn't on the program. Talked to Abby Chin on our radio show on NBA Insiders on SiriusXM NBA Radio, which we do, I guess it's 9 to noon Central. Look at that.
That's
look at
great.
Noon
that's good.
Central time. Yeah.
Pretty good. Pretty good from Phoenix. Yeah. That's pretty good. Because y'all confused out there. Are you mountain? Are you western? Are you Alaskan time? What are you?
Look, man, we Arizona time. Don't ask me what time. All I know is half the year we're with L.A. and the other half the year we're with Denver. So I just call it Arizona time. Because people say, now, is that mountain standard or mountain daylight? I don't know which is which. For the life of me, I don't know. Are we in daylight savings now? Or does that happen in the fall? I don't know. I have no clue how it works. But, yes, so we talked to Abby Chin, who covered the Celtics for NBC Sports Boston, and she said, you know, some of it was like they needed that come-to-Jesus moment from Marcus Smart. You know, it was ugly and it was, you know, embarrassing and all that, but it was exactly what they needed to hear, you know, for everyone to come to the table and kind of recommit themselves to the program, so to speak. And like I said, you know, you knew with guys like Robert Williams and Brown and Marcus Smart, like, this should not be a bad defensive team. And sure enough, they have been the best defensive team in the league this year.
I mean, tell us about Cinephobe. What is this podcast, Cinephobe?
Cinephobe, that's a podcast where Zach Harper and I watch movies that are poorly rated on Rotten Tomatoes, and then we try to ascertain whether they are accurately poorly rated or maybe they didn't get a fair shake. That's Cinephobe. Produced by Anthony Mays, and you get it wherever you get podcasts. And this week, the episode we did was a 1986 Eddie Murphy action fantasy comedy, The Golden Child. This is one of my favorite movies of all time.
Okay. All right. So we need a ruling from you.
Yeah.
Regarding Batman. This is why we really called. Because last week, I believe, Chris, we can have the discussion on Batman in that some will say, I like Batman based on the Bruce Wayne character or the Batman. I think it's two different conversations. So you saw the Batman, right, Chris? And so you thought what?
I loved it. I thought it was great. I think overall it was the best Batman movie I've seen.
Is it the best Bruce Wayne you've seen?
But it's more of a focus on Batman, and I think that's what I appreciated of it. I didn't need to see the billionaire tycoon who has all the playmates on his arm. Like, I didn't need that aspect of it.
What did you
make of the new Batman?
So I haven't seen it because I saw that it was 3 hours long, and I said I'll be damned if I'm going to sit in the movie theater for 3 hours and pay them money. I'll just wait till it comes out on HBO Max. But I will give you my ignorant opinion now. There's never going to be a better Batman than the Christian Bale Batman, because it was a movie that was done like, let's write it. Let's do a movie. Let's not do a comic book movie. Let's do a movie. Let's write real character development. Let's get great actors. Look, every part of the Dark Knight trilogy, it will never be another one like it. There'll never be a better Batman than Christian Bale. There'll never be a better Alfred than Michael Caine. There'll never be a better Robin than Joseph Gordon-Levitt. Think about that. They got Joseph Gordon-Levitt to be Robin? Oh, my gosh. There'll never be a better Bane than Tom Hardy. There'll never be Two-Face, maybe you could get a better one than that. But
They're not going to top the Catwoman in this new one. I'm telling you that right now.
Okay, I mean, all right, yeah. I'm no big fan of Anne Hathaway either. So, like, that's not a high bar. Zoe Kravitz did not have to jump over a high bar to beat that one. But my point is just the writing and the directing on those three movies were so out of this world, kind of detailed and nuanced and character development and plot development, that I just cannot see. It's like when people said, oh, the Joker, oh, my God, the Joker. And I watch it, like, it's all right. Like, it's not a usual DC movie where they crap all over themselves. They did I do that? Like, okay, like, they put together a decent movie that I was entertained, and not Jared Leto, what's his name? Joaquin Phoenix did a good performance. But you're not going to beat Heath Ledger at being a Joker. Come on, man. Like, that's next level right there. That dude went crazy. That's how well he played the role. He was so method that he lost his mind. Yeah, you can't top that, man.
I'm with you on the Joker. They can't top Heath Ledger as the Joker.
Right.
But, I mean, I feel as if when you see the new one, you're going to say, well, they kind of nailed everything else outside of the Joker.
But here's the point, I mean, with this. Like, but for Chris, from his standpoint, you don't want the backstory.
We know it.
You don't want Bruce Wayne.
His parents were murdered in an alley. We get it.
So, but I think that for some, that does matter, who the Bruce Wayne is and who Batman is. Can you separate the two? Does it matter to you, Amin, when you watch?
Yeah, it does, because like George Clooney was terrible at both, right?
But
he was way worse at being Bruce Wayne than he was at being Batman somehow.
Right.
Michael Keaton, I thought, was a great Bruce Wayne, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because he was like sarcastic and like condescending and all those things, which is what Bruce Wayne has to be. You have to have this like persona that like, oh, I'm a jerk, don't be around me, right? I thought Ben Affleck hit Bruce Wayne really well in terms of, like, I'm miserable. But I don't know if he was acting or if he was actually miserable from being in such a terrible movie. But again, I go back to Christian Bale, man. Nobody's going to outdo Christian Bale being a jerk as Bruce Wayne. No one's going to outdo Christian Bale as being this idealist Batman who sees the good in everything. Like, this dude, I mean, again, like, he's one of the greatest actors of his generation. It's not fair to take the kid from Twilight and say, hey, be like Christian Bale, who made all of these classic movies. It's like taking, you know, taking me and say, hey, man, be like Michael Jordan. Here, put on these sneakers and this jersey. Hey, you can do the same stuff. Like, no, man. Like, I'm all right, but I'm not that.
Cinephobe, wherever you get your podcasts. I get the show. You should as well.
Yeah. Thank you, Amin. Thanks for joining us. That's Amin El-Hassan. So check him out. SiriusXM. He's with Metal Arc now with Levitard and Friends. So check him out. He's outstanding.
I love your thoughts on Batman. Fresh perspective.
I loved it. I enjoyed it.
I got to go see it.
I'm not. If you enjoy the others, that's cool. It's cool.
No, but, cool but I like your angle of saying, hey, man, I've known since I was a child what the backstory is of Bruce Wayne. Just get me to the action.
It's right? year one and two of Batman situation where he hasn't figured everything out yet.
Yeah.
But also you don't get the backstory of like how he became Batman. I see. It's like new Batman where he could still trip and fall.
Yeah.
And he's not quite as smooth with it, you know, so it's good.
I love that. This thing is hilarious.
We'll be back.
This is Fast Break with Jay Hood and Chris Black. Follow us on Twitter at @TweetJayHood and at Chris Black. The Fast Break continues right now on ESPN 1000, 100.3 HD2, and the ESPN Chicago app.
It's Fast Break. I'm Chris Black along with Jonathan Hood here on ESPN 1000, the ESPN Chicago app. There's a lot of stories in the National Basketball Association, the NBA. There's a lot going on,
yes,
Jonathan.
Yes, it is. Always.
And so each week around 2:30, 2:35-ish, we like to spin the wheel and check out the NBA notebooks.
All right, let's see.
Here we go.
A lot of topics out here.
Big wheel.
What do you have there?
All right. It lands on the Dallas Mavericks. This is a story that I wanted to get to with you last week. The success of the Mavericks as of late.
Your other team.
Well, the Mavericks are a team I've always paid attention to because I feel like after they won that championship, they should have won more. Right now, they're fifth in the Western Conference, 43-27. Luka Doncic is having an incredible year. Mm-hmm. They traded away his running mate at the trade deadline, Kristaps Porzingis. And the story that I wanted to talk to you about is, they are so much better now without him.
That's right.
Why? Because they add Spencer Dinwiddie, who's a ball handler and a three-point shooter, and we've seen Dinwiddie hit game-winning buckets for the Mavericks as of late. A lot of this has to do with the idea that Luka doesn't have to do it himself, but he also has shooters around him, which is a great concept.
So shout out to Jalen Brunson in that regard too, right?
Yep, Jalen Brunson.
So,
yep.
So now the ball is moving and hopping from side to side. I think it's a better defensive team. That's hard to say when Carlisle was there for all those years, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Jason Kidd's running it now.
Is it my eyes? Is it my TV? Or do they're better defensively?
They're playing better defensively. And also some of the idea, the Dallas Morning News, I think, had this story. They are also removing the ball from Luka's hands.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's one of the more high efficiency / usage players in the league. But also they are putting the ball in Jalen Brunson's hands and also in Dinwiddie's hands, which then allows Luka to not have to have the basketball every single possession, which has also helped the offense along.
You know, one day Dallas will be a destination for free agents.
One day.
Because that is a thing. That's still a major market in Dallas, right?
So, for sure.
Okay, so that's the thing that's missing with Dallas. Why they're not in the conversation amongst the big three in the West. Yeah. They're in the middle like the Bulls, right? But if they were able to have like that extra guy with Doncic, look out.
Should we spin the wheel?
Yes, please.
Here we go.
Let's see what we have here. I would say Marquise Chris. Let's see. Dorian Finney-Smith. Oh, here's a topic. You ready?
Yes. Give it to me.
Chris, is DeMar DeRozan this year's Julius Randle?
Okay, I'm going to say he isn't because he has a better track record in the past than what Randle had coming into last season.
You know what I mean
by that. I see what you're doing there, though. Julius Randle was the surprise player last year, and also the Knicks were the surprise team in the Eastern Conference last year, and they have completely cratered. The Knicks right now are on the outside looking in from the play-in games. They're 30-40. They're 5 games back of the Hornets, from the 11th to the 10th spot to play in the play-in. So they're not going to get there. They're not going to make the playoffs at all. They won't make the play-in. And Julius Randle has taken a step back this season. I don't think DeMar is quite that. He has a better track record. Mm-hmm. I don't think what we see from DeMar this season, we're going to get again in the future. I don't think he'll be in the MVP conversation going forward.
The Bulls are not the Knicks, right?
I hope.
Right?
They've got better pieces around the one individual.
I agree. So I asked the question.
Yeah.
Because Julius Randle came out of nowhere. Renaissance year for him, right?
Yeah.
The lefty.
Oh, yeah.
The crafty lefty. And then, you know, the Knicks are back, is my partner. Take that! The Knicks are back! Back where?
Was he just telling you?
Oh, yeah. Always just telling me. The Knicks are back. You see the Garden? They got beat by the Hawks. That'll be it with that, right? So that's why I asked that question.
Right. Tom Thibodeau, will he be? I know Leon Rose said this week that Thibodeau will be back for next season. That's always good when they have to proactively tell you that the coach is coming back. That's good, right?
All right, spin the wheel.
Spin it up.
What do we have here? What do we got? That's interesting. All right, here we go. 76ers. All right.
Steph Curry's hurt. What are we going to do here? The Golden State Warriors were finally getting back together. What, they played two games where Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, and Stephen Curry were all healthy together, mm-hmm. and then Steph gets hurt. They say out of San Francisco that it's not going to be season-ending, but there's a chance he'll be back at the start of the playoffs. It doesn't seem great for the former MVP and one of the best players in the league.
They just can't get healthy at the same time. So whether that's Wiseman, whether that's Draymond Green, and now Steph Curry, sprained ligament in the left foot. He should be ready when this playoffs start. But here's the thing. Will Draymond Green be ready? And then once they are ready, how will they be able to mesh together?
Yeah.
And so when we thought, when Klay Thompson's been away for 2 years, when he comes back, everything's going to be all good. Not so all good. When they're all together, they can be really dangerous. But Steph Curry, maybe this is somewhat of a blessing in disguise. We're about 12, 13 games away from getting to the playoffs here in mid-April. Mm-hmm. Maybe this would be a good thing for him if he's healthy enough to play. We will see.
Kendrick Perkins on First Take earlier this week talked about the Warriors and their season.
Hell yeah, they over. And look, it's not all because of the lack of playing time that Steph, Klay, and Draymond has had this season. Look, these guys have played together their entire career. Right. They know how to find the chemistry. Yeah. It's about the others. What? And when you saw Steve Kerr get mad the other night at Marcus Smart, yes, it was about protecting Steph Curry, but it was about him having 12 games left in the season and him trying to find his rotations, trying to find the continuity, trying to find the chemistry. Remember, Klay got back, and I said this. It was going to be guys that were going to have to play different roles. Right. Now you have to find out where you're going to play Jordan Poole. How are you going to play Kuminga? How is Draymond and Kuminga going to play with one another? Right. And if you're a head coach, when you get to this period of time where it matters the most going into the home stretch, the last part of the season, you want to have guys knowing their roles and knowing their place. And that's why I say that with Steph Curry being injured and not coming back to the playoffs, that yes, I strongly believe that the Warrior title hopes are done for this season.
All right, there he is, Kendrick Perkins from First Take.
I can't do that. I can't. I just gave you the scenario of, boy, they need to get healthy and then we'll see. This is why me and JD came up with mild takes.
Yeah.
I can't do what he just did. Hell no, they ain't coming back.
I should have just cut it there for y'all.
I mean, I can't. All right, spin the wheel. You got another thing? All right. I mean, I just can't do that, man. I can't do that take thing. I just can't.
Here we go.
I mean, I just
thought, yeah, what do we have here? Oh. Yeah, perfect. Here we go. Kendrick Perkins on LeBron James in the lake.
Why is it landing on this again? Perkins again?
I got to spin it again. Hold on.
Please.
Right. I can't do it.
Here we go. Landing on Perkins again. That's bad luck.
All right. Three in a row. Perkins on James Harden. Good enough to get the Sixers to the finals.
All right. Well,
what's happening here with the spins?
All right. That's not going to happen. All right. One more time here.
One more time. All right.
Clean this thing.
Can I give you this one? Finally, a non-Perkins take on the wheel. Yeah.
He kept passing up Charlotte for whatever reason.
We don't need any of his takes.
All right.
Have you noticed the Minnesota Timberwolves and them going after the Lakers? Mm-hmm. Did you see that earlier this week? Not only did they beat the Lakers, they were talking mad trash. I love that Pat Beverly has worn off on the other young Timberwolves. Mm-hmm. You got Beasley, you got Towns, you got guys who are willing to talk trash. And then the 3-point that was missed by Westbrook. And then Towns looking up in the stands like there's a window open in the arena. Wow, did you see that earlier this week?
This is the swagger that you want when you're a young team, right? But it's swagger, but you're winning.
Yeah.
That's the whole thing. A lot of this comes for sure from a number of players that we could point out, but definitely comes from Anthony Edwards. He came in strange.
Yeah.
He came in the league strange. The guy didn't even like basketball.
Yeah.
Didn't even like basketball. So I give them their flowers. The Timberwolves are relevant under A-Rod, under his leadership, under his ownership. And so now the Timberwolves, again, they're going to be a tough out in the playoffs as well. But I like the swagger. It gives you a story.
There's also something to this Westbrook being offended by people calling him Westbrick.
That's correct.
Which I think is just genius and super creative. And you got to get tougher skin as an NBA player.
I understand
that.
Like,
I get every fan base is now going after you. And even your home fans are going after you because you stink. But, like, Westbrick is hilarious.
Well, that tells me a couple of things. One, yes, he does need to have tougher skin. But two, actually, more people are watching Skip Bayless' show than I thought.
you're right.
That's where it came from.
Yeah. I mean, it's, but he's like going after fans in the stands. Like, all kind of, like, he didn't go into the stands, but he's talking trash to fans when he's warming up, and there's videos that are being posted. I love that the Timberwolves are going after the Lakers the other night. I think that's something we have to keep our eyes. All right.
Do you have one more time? One more spin?
Quick spin. All right, quick spin. Quick spinner. Non-Perkins, please. Non-Perkins.
Oh, this is a good one. Chris, who wins an NBA championship first? Luka Doncic, Jason Tatum, or Devin Booker?
The answer is Devin Booker, and it's likely to be this season.
All right, there you go.
There it is.
This is ESPN Chicago's Fast Break. Everything Bulls and NBA in a convenient two-hour package. Or if you miss your shot for live, the Fast Break podcast is available on the ESPN Chicago app. Now back to Fast Break. Here's Jay Hood and Chris Black on ESPN 1000.
Check out the podcast of Fast Break on the ESPN Chicago app. That's right. It's right there on the ESPN Chicago app every Saturday from 1 to 3. If you missed any of the show, check it out on the ESPN Chicago app. I'm Chris Black along with Jonathan Hood talking Bulls and NBA. And coming up, the White Sox face off against the Guardians. White Sox baseball on ESPN 1000 coming up in 5 minutes.
Game of the night. Don't worry, you got the NCAA tournament, but the game of the night will take place at 4 o'clock. It'll be Milwaukee against Minnesota.
That's a good one. And we were just talking about the Timberwolves. The Timberwolves are scrappy. Mm-hmm. You got Cat gave you a 60 within the last week. Is he a superstar yet?
Cat?
Is he moving towards that?
I'm moving toward it, yes.
Moving towards it?
All those losses, no. But, right. But now, yeah, he's moving toward it.
They have an opportunity here to be in the playoffs.
That's right.
So that's something good to watch. And you, 4 o'clock for that game?
Four. That's an early game. So, and it's funny how you say, like, the NBA moves out of the way, shortens the schedule for the NCAA tournament.
How many games are on the schedule tonight?
Four. Dallas-Charlotte is the NBA TV game.
There was a full slate of games last night, Friday night, but on Thursday there was one.
Right.
And then if you look, there's no primetime national TV game tonight, right? And I believe there's no national primetime game tomorrow either.
That's correct.
Yeah. So the league knows what it's up against, and they say, okay, all right, here you go. Have your college basketball for the weekend. We'll be back next week.
Silver's too kind because the NFL wouldn't do that. They'll steamroll right over you. Yeah, they took our Christmas game, right?
Oh, I know.
They don't care about your games.
Oh, they tripled up on basketball this year at Christmas.
Yeah, but like the NFL had their game. They don't care about the NBA.
The Bulls for the next week. Monday, they face off home against the Raptors. Tuesday night, it's a back-to-back. They go up to Milwaukee to face off against the Bucks. Thursday, the Pelicans in New Orleans. Oh. Saturday, at Cleveland. So you've got three road games, a couple of playoff teams mixed in there. That's a tough week. Four games in the week in a back-to-back to start Monday and Tuesday.
Toronto's been up and down. We'll see how that works out on Monday. But, of course, the champs taking on Milwaukee at five serves going to be tough. New Orleans plays tough. But who will show up at Smoothie King on Thursday? We'll see.
Right. And then you get to Saturday, and our next Fast Break from 1 to 3 next Saturday, we'll be walking you into coverage, the Bulls at the Cavs. That's next Saturday. I'm Chris Black along with Jonathan Hood, White Sox baseball with Len Casper and Darren Jackson. Coming up next right here on ESPN 1000.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Perkins.